Well, hallelujah. This morning we're going to go back over and teaching again, dealing with the area of seated in heavenly places. And just a little bit of things of last week. One of the things, last week we talked about it, and Mike used and spoke from the scripture today and said about, you know, where it says we're seated together with him, speaking seated together with Christ in heavenly places. Smith Wigglesworth, who... He died in 1948. Smith Wigglesworth, his ministry was absolutely a very supernatural ministry. It was absolutely powerful. There was 19 people, different people that were verified, raised from the dead under his ministry. But loads and loads of miracles. Powerful, powerful ministry. But Smith Wigglesworth said something, because Mike, it really struck me today as Mike said about the sniper thing. I thought, you know, Smith Wigglesworth said this about effective prayer, about praying effectively. He said, if you're going to pray effectively, he said, your position of prayer is seated in heavenly places. He said, you need to pray looking down on situations instead of praying looking up. See, most people pray looking up trying to get God to do something. Spiritual authority, if I have the authority, I'm not trying to get God to do something. I have the authority to see that things get done. See, many things and people are trying to get God to do what he already said he wanted to do, and they're talking to him like they got to try to get him to do it. See, we need to take our position and our place. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ. In other words, that's the position of our authority. That's the place that we're sitting. You know, think about this. I mean, Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, that he'll do it for you. That's what he told the disciples. How many people pray like that, like God's going to do it for them? They pray trying to get God to do it for them and call it faith, and it's not faith at all. They don't believe in the authority. They're trying to get Jesus to do for them what he already says they have the authority to have. You know, it's just like bank accounts. We have, my wife and I have bank accounts, you know, at the bank. We don't go down and plead for our money out of the bank. It's ours. It's in the bank. God's put things in our hands, and it would be ludicrous for us trying to get him to give us what we got. And that's what the church world has done. The church world, you know, these revelations, God's brought revelations along, but you know, most Christians are religious people, and they follow religious traditions. And they stay with religious traditions on how you do things, no matter what Scripture says. No matter what it does, we believe a certain way. And I know over the years, you know, come along, people are doing things, and I say, well, the Bible says this. Yeah, I know what the Bible says, but this is what we believe. I said, well, who cares what you believe? I don't even interested in what you believe. If it ain't the Bible, good luck. You're on your own. And loads of people, that's why we have our traditions. You know, a lot of the denomination stuff, and whether it's spirit-filled denominations or whatever it is, a lot of it's founded upon their beliefs and not Bible beliefs. Man, you come into a denomination group and you try to change their beliefs based on what the Bible said, and they'll run you out of town on a rail. My God, they'll get rid of you quick because you break our traditions and how we like things and what you want to do. I remember Kenneth Hagin telling the story about this pastor talking about a church. They had a woman who had years and years back had bought an organ for the church, and the thing wouldn't work anymore, and you couldn't get it fixed or couldn't get parts for it, nothing. But because she gave the thing, and oh, she was held as the saint, the people would never allow them to get rid of the organ. It just sat there on the stage and took up room. I'm going to tell you, people worship stuff and don't think it's crazy. I watch people, the nicest people today, worship things, you know, what granny and what, you know, somebody else did. And, you know, because they love a person, then they follow after whatever that person has or did, and it becomes a god to them. More important than God himself. Well, we don't want to go there. Hallelujah. I don't want a thing stand between me and God. Do you? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I got enough trouble and I can cause myself without doing that kind of stuff. Hallelujah. Well, we're looking at positional truth, and you need to understand this about your position or really the place of authority that God has placed you in through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ won the victory that he won. He did it for us. Jesus didn't need to be saved. He didn't, you know, Jesus didn't need no authority over the devil. The devil wasn't in heaven. He didn't need authority over the devil. He won authority over devil in the earth as a man for men. He did that for men. He didn't do that for him. The devil ain't in heaven. Jesus, when he was on the earth, told the disciples, he said, I saw Lucifer fall like lightning. Well, did you ever see the light? Lightning, lightning strikes, 186,000 miles per second. That's what God did to Lucifer, kicking him out of heaven. He hit the earth at 186,000 miles per second. God wasn't up there wrestling the devil nowhere. He did a finger flick and that little old boy smacked his earth. The Bible says about the devil, when we see him, the Bible says this, that men are going to say, is this the guy that deceived the nations? This little nothing? But the church has upheld the devil like, oh my God, he is just so great. They got a little God and a big devil. You know? Like God's up there worried about the devil. We deal with the devil here, and we want to deal with those things. One of the things that we talked about last week is dealing where the Apostle Paul told Timothy that Jesus Christ is the only potentate. In other words, he is the only ruler with a sovereign power. He's a sovereign monarch and ruler. He says he's the only one. Now, the Apostle Paul didn't seem to think that there was two. When the Bible says all authority in heaven and earth was given unto Jesus, Paul believed that. I wish we could get that across to the church world today. See, everybody think Jesus. You know, if Jesus was given all authority and power and it's only good up in heaven, who cares? It's of no value to me. It's of no value if it's only good in heaven. Then what we all ought to do is do what that Jones guy did, is get everybody together, put some poison in a punch and drink it, and we'll all go to heaven. Well, a lot of the preaching today, you might as well. You know, everybody's looking, it's terrible down here. We're going to go under down here. We need to get to heaven to get away from this because we can't make it down here. Oh, look at the way things are getting. I'll tell you, there's loads of quitters out here in the church. And they're saying, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And they ain't saying it because they want Jesus, because they like Jesus. They can't stand it where they're at. They can't do nothing about it. They believe nothing but religious junk. And they believe the devil's going to run their lives. And they expect it when they pray and ask God to do something. They don't no more expect God to do anything about their situations. They don't. They're just hoping he's nice and does something in spite of all whatever else is going on. Hallelujah. But Jesus is the only potentate. He is a sovereign. Hallelujah. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so, we read from Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 21 said, so he was seated far above all principality, power, might, and dominion in every name. So when we look at Jesus, his sovereignty and being this king, this potentate, this one, all authority, he's far above it. And we also read concerning the church that the church now, where the church is seated with him, but in Ephesians, the first chapter said that we're the fullness of him that fills all in all. He's the head of the church, and the church is the fullness of Jesus Christ. Now that's a revelation in itself. The church needs to get a hold of this revelation. We're the fullness of Jesus Christ. In the earth, Jesus Christ is not in the earth. Jesus Christ is in heaven. Jesus Christ is physically in heaven. He's not here. When people say Jesus is in your heart, Jesus is in your heart through the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, I'm going to send another comforter, another helper. That word another means one, it's just like me. Having the Holy Ghost is like having Jesus. It's the same thing. It ain't different. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus Christ is in heaven. He has a glorified physical body. And he's in heaven. If you read over in the book of Hebrews, it tells you why. Because really, the intercessory ministry of the priesthood is done in the temple of whatever it is, like here on the earth. The men who were in the earth who were priests, they were priests and mediators for people in the earthly temple. Jesus Christ is the mediator for the church in the real temple, which is in heaven. And the high priest has to fulfill his ministry there. He can't leave and come here. If he comes and leaves here, his intercessory ministry stops. The priest has to be in the temple. God, I want Jesus in heaven. People say, well, Jesus on the earth. Not while I have to live here, I don't. While I have to live here in this flesh, I want him in heaven carrying out the ministry. If he don't, it's just like in the Israel always got in trouble when the people quit paying their tithes and quit following God, and the priests would have to leave the temple worship and go get jobs and go work. Why? Because the ministry wasn't taking place before God. The intercessory ministry was not taking place before God. So Israel would always end up in a mess, and other nations would come down and haul them off and do all kinds of stuff to them. That's what's happened to the church today. The devil has come and hauled the Christians off. They're out here living in the world in sin. They've been taken off into captivity. Because they've been living, they live like Jesus. There ain't no intercessory. They're living like hell. They're not living right. Hallelujah. They aren't being preached to properly. They aren't told the truth. Most people don't even know why Jesus is in heaven. Why don't you stay here? If they read the Bible sometime or have a preacher tell them, dear God, you need Jesus to be in heaven. He has to be there. Glory to God. Because when he comes back, it's going to be to clean up the mess. Hallelujah. And we come back. He comes back. We come back with him in glorified bodies. Any other way, I don't want to come back. If it ain't a glorified body, dear Lord, I don't want to. I don't want to be around. Hallelujah. But Jesus Christ is the high priest, and he carries out in heaven. I'll tell you, he's the face. He is the face of the church before God at all times. Whenever God sees Jesus, he sees the church. Hallelujah. It's just like with the high priest. The high priest, he represented the people when he took the blood into the holies of holies and put the blood. He was the representation of the people. And God considered the sin of the people for a year was forgiven. That was in the natural. Hallelujah. Jesus, the high priest, took his blood in and made an eternal redemption. Hallelujah. And forever it stands. Forever men are forgiven. Hallelujah. Forever. An eternal redemption. Glory to God, and he's the representation. See, people don't think of Jesus, the high priest, but says he ever lives to make intercession. Most people think intercession is just about praying. I know where they get that from. There is an intercessory prayer. But I'm going to tell you, everything that they did in the old temple was intercession. When they were burning sacrifices, when they were lighting the candles, when they did the showbread, they did the incense. That was all the intercession ministry. Jesus ain't up there 24 hours a day praying for you, dear God. He's given you the authority to pray for you. What on earth does he have to be praying for you all the time for? He just up there ever listening to me. Where do ministers ever get this stuff out? I don't know. They ought to read the Bible sometime. Thank God for intercession. It'd be good if we did it here. Here's where the trouble is. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what, because Jesus is at the right hand in his intercession ministry, whatever I pray here believing, I can get it done. Glory to God, I don't have to have him asking for it. I can get it. Man, we got to get back. The church got to get back over and wake up. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, the intercession ministry was so messed up in the 90s, they carried it to such extremes and messed everything up. And I'll tell you what, it gave us a wrong vision of heaven. Hallelujah. It's amazing. Dear God, hallelujah. Because of my intercessor in heaven, glory to God, I don't have to sit around and wait. Glory to God. I don't have to ask Jesus to go beg to die. Jesus said, whatever I ask the Father in his name, he'll do it. He didn't say, whatever you ask me to beg the Father for you, he might get it. You never know. Because that priest is there and he's there forever and he's the high priest. I have the right, you have the right to ask anything according to God's will, and you're supposed to know that you'll get it. That's what John wrote in 1 John the 5th chapter. You ask anything according to his will, you know that you have the petition you requested of him. My God, that's a new one for the church. Hallelujah. They ought to read that scripture every Sunday. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why? The intercessory ministry of Jesus. Now, I don't have none of that in my notes, but it's good preaching. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, we have a place of authority. We haven't walked in it. The church, because it ain't even preached to walk in it. That's not preached anymore. Glory to God. These are the things back in the 80s when I came in the church. This stuff was talked about. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Maybe not in every bunch, but the bunches, there's loads of people I was around. And I'll tell you what, my God, we thought God would hear us. We thought God actually would listen to us. And we were just crazy, do the dumbest stuff, and God would show up. Hallelujah. Do all kind of stuff. I mean, ain't none of us were scholars, Bible scholars, that's for sure. But you know what? We were dumb, just believe what the Word said and go do it. Act like God would show up because we ask. All this ritual junk, trying to get through to get God to do something. Like you got to arrive at some place. You know, do you ever think about from a scriptural standpoint how God views people? I mean, we look at Samson, the guy Samson, and we look, yeah, my God, God wanted to use him, and what a messed up guy he was. You know, God doesn't view him that way. You go over in the Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and he's mentioned in the hall of faith. God's more interested in my faith than my mess ups. Hallelujah. God has done more for me on different things and that stuff for people who I'm sure think they live much better life than I do. But they don't know nothing about faith. God ain't interested in how good Ed can perform. He's good how Ed can trust Jesus Christ and believe what Jesus can do for me. Hallelujah. He's more interested in that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You think Samson bought that temple down just because, you know, God wanted to get back at somebody? He walked by faith. When he asked the Lord to give him his strength back, he had already said to the young man, take me out to them two pillars that hold this place up. That's a man of faith. He was going out there knowing if he asked God to do it, God was going to do it. Hallelujah. He left in faith better than 90% of Christians leave this earth. The only faith they got is I get to go to heaven, but there ain't nothing of faith going on. They do. They don't tear the devil's stuff up before they leave. My God, they let the devil tear things up before they go. Glory to God. When we leave this place, I'm going to tell you the devil's going to be, my God, get them out of here. Hallelujah. Get that crazy preacher out of here. I don't leave alone. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Done preach me happy. Glory to God. I want to talk to you this morning. I'm not going to spend a bunch of time talking about what we talked about last week. But I want to go over because of a revelation, and this deals with our place of authority. In December 1952, in fact, that was when this thing took place. I was just a little less than a month. I would have been 3 years old. Out in Broken Bow, Oklahoma, Kenneth E. Hagin had a vision, was caught up to heaven. And really, where we get the book, you know, The Believer's Authority, came because of that vision that was given to Kenneth Hagin, where he saw Jesus and Jesus told him some things. Now, we need to understand this. Talk about 1952 and dealing with things going on at that time, the revelation in the church. And it always amazes me because dealing with that revelation in 1952, the Spirit for Kenneth Hagin was a minister in the Assembly of God churches at that time. He was Assembly God minister. And he was in the Assemblies of God. And the Assemblies of God didn't know nothing about authority over the devil. They didn't know a thing about it. This vision that Jesus gave him dealt with the authority over Satan. They didn't know they had it, 1952. I can take you into their churches today and they've already lost that. They don't know it again. And I'm not knocking them. It's all kind of, all kind of the groups of the Spirit-filled. They've lost the vision. You get away from teaching truth and you lose it. See, I don't care what a minister knows. If he doesn't preach it, the people don't know it. And it's not being preached in the church. And I'm going to tell you, you go to Spirit-filled churches today, and the majority of Spirit-filled churches have people that know nothing. Yet they've had ministers who have been taught all kinds of things, but that ain't what they teach. They teach the message of the day. What's God saying today? And then they tell you all kinds of things that have to do with the natural. God ain't talking about the natural. Hallelujah. If things don't get changed spiritually, who cares? Natural's going under. That's just, let's get it face fact. That's what's happening. But see, if it's not preached, God gave a revelation, and it's interesting in the revelation that was given to Kenneth E. Hagin. Kenneth E. Hagin even admitted during the time, and I've heard him talk personally about it. I've heard him on tapes. I've heard him ministering personally and that stuff, where he talked about they didn't know their position of authority. Whenever they prayed, if they had trouble with the devil, you asked God to do something about the devil. Now, I know this. I was born and raised in a church, And that's what, if anything had to be dealt with the devil, you always ask God, God, you know, and you could never count on it. Sometimes God wanted the devil to be messing with you. That's what he wanted that. Hallelujah. He was teaching you piety, whatever that is. I don't know. He was teaching you something, and it's amazing. All that he taught them, God must be a terrible teacher because it never helped them at all, and they never got any brighter, they never got any smarter, and they never got any more piety. So I don't know what it was, but God must have been bad at it, what he was teaching. Hallelujah. Well, anyhow, God's a great teacher. Hallelujah. But these things about dealing with spiritual authority, and in this, we can't go through the whole thing, but in this vision, Jesus showed Kenneth E. Hagin how people can end up possessed, how it happens. Now, we need to understand, we deal with the Bible with possession. Most people think about somebody who's possessed. They watched some movie and some guy's eyes turn red, you know, and he goes around and, you know, he'll get a chainsaw and go kill somebody. Possession really has to do with degree. Really, lots of times there's many people, even in the Christian world, many Christians are oppressed by the devil. They're oppressed. They're under oppression. In other words, the devil oppresses them. Now, he isn't dominating, rule their life, but he's doing things that cause them discomfort and problems. There's many people, even Christians, who have things of dealing with depression and stuff itself. It's no more than demonic is what it is. It's demonic. It's demons that bug people and oppress people, and people don't know how to do it. He in the vision, he showed them how demons get a hold into people's thought life. See, you think wrong, you understand the Bible wrong, you can open up the door to the devil to oppress you because you can't stop him if you don't know the truth. The truth makes men free. The truth is what makes people free. And if you don't know the truth, you're always open to deception. You're open to some kind of deception. Well, he showed how people would get oppressed, but then also how, you know, they would become obsessed. Obsessed in their mind and in their thinking, how they would start thinking wrong thoughts and these spirits would reinforce these thoughts. And after a while, they would become obsessed with a way of thinking. Have you ever met anybody like that? You know what? I mean, they're over and they're on like this little merry-go-round. They can't get off this thing. Their thoughts and thinking run on this thing. And what happens? This thing's demonic. Now, and a person in that position can change. They can still. They're not possessed where the devil controls and has to, you know, they can't, you know, deal with it. People can deal with it. I know, and the Lord dealing with me some years ago here was an individual. And I know this person, and still to this day, has demonic problems. And has demonic problems in their mind. They're obsessed in a way of thinking. And in the obsession of their thinking, I'd been praying about them and praying, and I could just tell nothing wasn't really hooking up. And over time, I would take time of even fasting and praying concerning this individual. And I know this. I know we're dealing with a demon. I know we're dealing with a demon with this individual. Now, this individual goes to doctors and all kinds, and they try, you know, eat certain kinds of food and doing all this is going to make me better and all this kind of stuff. Well, you can go ahead. The devil don't care what you eat. You eat whatever you want. I ain't going to change a thing. If the devil's running it, you're going to have to deal with things spiritually. Well, I never asked the Lord over a period of time about it specifically, but one day I just praying, and I finally said, well, Lord, what's going on here with this individual? I said, I'm not praying, but this thing ain't hooking up. What's going on? I should have asked a long time ago. The Lord spoke to me and said, you can't help that individual. You can pray as much as you want for them. He said, they know what to do and won't do it. See, it's one thing praying for somebody that don't know any better. Loads of people know better than what they're doing, and they won't quit it. And they said, the individual knows what to do, but won't do it. He said, you can't help them. So you can pray all you want. You're wasting your time. You know, it's one thing is in our nation. I mean, we can take authorities over demon forces in our nation that might influence other people. But if somebody wants to yield to a devil, they're allowed to. They can. If a person individually wants to yield to a spirit, they can. Many people like certain spirits. They like operate. They like certain things. Certain people like certain kinds of sin. They like it. And they want to get over there and do it. And they enjoy it. And they yield to things. We don't just have to let it influence us. We can take authority over it. And there's people out here that want to be free, and there's things that we could do to help those individuals. But you're not going to help everybody, and we need to understand that. Just like with that individual, the Lord told me, he said, they don't do any good prayer. They know what to do. Lord even told me, they were told specifically what to do and a number of times, and they will not do it. And you know what? They're going to continually stay bound. And Satan is allowed to do what he's doing to them. He's allowed to because they are yielded to it. They're allowed to. Say, whew. I thought I'd just pray. You know, if I'm real spiritual, then I could just pray and take care of everybody. Ain't happening. Ain't happening, folks. We need to understand that. That's why we don't. This is why dealing with the authority that we have. Kenneth E. Hagin, when the Lord gave him this vision, he showed him, in fact, he showed what happened to a woman who was a minister. She was a minister, spirit-filled. He showed in the vision, talks about her, where she turned around. The devil tried to oppress her. And eventually, over a long period of time, he finally got a handle on. She was a very beautiful woman, very talented singer. And the devil would come to her and say, "You're beautiful, and you know you're really talented. If you know you being over here and following God, if you'd be in the world, you'd be famous, and you'd be, you know, all this stuff." Well, folks, don't think that wouldn't be strange. I'm going to tell you what I've seen some of the most staunch believers turn around and over a few bucks leave God. I've seen over the year under the prosperity message. People turn around as soon as they start getting prosperous. You don't see them in church anymore. As soon as they got a little money, then they're going all summer. They're on vacation all the time. They got all their stuff and they're on the run all the time. And they got their motor homes and they got their things. And they're out here under their prosperity. They don't follow God. Seen loads of it. Had a major minister, big church, say to me one time, "I got these people in the summer. You don't see them all summer in church." I said, "You ever tell them about it?" "Well, no, because see, they send checks in between and we need the money. See, you don't tell them that." A good spirit-filled church. Oh, they got a good church. It's big. Yeah. But you don't say, why? Because people get prosperity and they follow prosperity. See, that's why you teach people the whole gospel and not prosperity gospel. You teach them the whole gospel. If you don't teach people humility and obedience, you don't teach them those kinds of things and they don't know them, you get them money, you know what they're going to do? They're going to follow the bucks. Or they're going to follow fame. You offer. How many times did you see somebody start off in the music industry, was very good, and man, they got popular, and all of a sudden their songs started getting off further, and they started. You know, when we started off, in full gospel businessmen. If I would take every person that they came along who was in Hollywood who got saved, I don't know if any of them follow God anymore. They turn around and see, popularity is a huge thing. And if you don't grow up spiritually, you're going to follow what pleases your flesh. You know, they came over and found out that when they got saved, they were popular among Christians, but all those fans out there, they weren't following that. And they like the fans. They like all that stuff. Man, ministers do it all the time. I watch ministers get big and they follow the fans. They got lots of fans. They call them followers. They ain't nothing but fans. Loads of them are like fans. That's what they do. They follow after the things of the flesh here. We're in the right group. We're in this. That is why we do it. Following Jesus. I don't know where the rest of them are going. I'm following Jesus. Hallelujah. Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." He didn't say, "Just follow me." Follow me as I follow Christ. If I ain't following Christ, don't follow me. Hallelujah. You want to make sure somebody's following Christ. They could be a big help to you, but... Hallelujah. You want to make, well, anyhow, she turned around and got obsessed in this area. The devil got in and she came to the point where she actually really got possessed in her thinking. The devil got the hold. And after a while, she turned against Christ. And in the vision, Kenneth Hagin saw her in hell. See, Jesus don't believe in once saved, always saved. Jesus don't believe that. That's Christians believe that stuff. Jesus don't believe it and the Bible don't teach it. The Bible never has taught it, never taught it. In fact, it's a doctrine of the devil brought into the church. I'm going to tell you what, if we could just live and do any old thing we want to and believe what, just because one time I accepted Jesus, you know the word believe in the Bible is a continuous action verb. It does not mean once and done, never has. I don't care what you did 20 years ago. God's going to call you on what you're doing now. You know, we get over the nuttiest stuff. But this vision came along, and in this vision, one of the things about this vision where it really was a revelation to Kenneth E. Hagin was this. He's talking to Jesus in this vision. He could see Jesus standing there, and he's standing here, and they're talking. And all of a sudden, this little demon, and he called him an imp. He said it was just a little thing. He came out, and he said he started this thing, and like black smoke started coming up. And all this black smoke, and he said, this black smoke started coming up between him and Jesus, and he couldn't see Jesus anymore. And he said, then this little guy started yelling real loud, yakety yak, yakety yak, yakety, real loud. And he said, he couldn't hear Jesus talking anymore. He said, this little guy's yelling like crazy in this smoke. And he said, I'm standing there thinking, why don't Jesus do something about this? Why don't Jesus do something? And he said, don't Jesus know I can't hear him? Don't he know I don't know what he's saying? I'm missing a revelation. God's trying to give me a revelation. I'm missing it. And he said, you know, he was getting like really more scared. Like, what's going on? And finally, he said, he don't know. He just went, in the name of Jesus, you stop it. And he said, the little demon just dropped on the floor. He said, all the smoke disappeared. And he said, this little thing just laid there and wimped and whined. But anyhow, the revelation from Jesus was this to Kenneth Hagin. He said to him, if you hadn't done that, I couldn't have done anything about it. See, that's a revelation of the church today because the church don't know that. Yet that revelation had been brought back to the church. It isn't the church. The church in the beginning knew it. There's church through ages had known it at different spots. But what happens, those revelations quit getting taught because the church turns around and always starts getting secular again. It starts going over to the secular. That's where it goes to. It's like today, the church is all in the secular. And so those revelations don't get preached. And Jesus, and so people saying, oh, we're going to have a prayer meeting. I'll go down to the bar and have a drink. Your prayer meetings ain't going to amount to nothing anyhow. If you don't understand your authority and what you're doing, praying is a waste of time. You're begging God in your own ideas, in your own thoughts. That isn't what gets prayer answered. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. If you don't know what God's doing, Kenneth Hagin, he said, I couldn't have done nothing about it. Kenneth Hagin was so shocked, he said to the Lord, he said, I know I didn't hear this right. You couldn't have said, you couldn't do anything about it. You just said you wouldn't. Jesus said, oh no, I told you I couldn't. And he said, I said to him another time. Anyhow, they went through three times of that. He said, Jesus, come on. This can't be. He said, I never heard anything ever preached like this. Jesus said, Christians need to understand. They ask me all the time to do things about the devil. I can't do anything about the devil. And I'm not going to do anything about the devil. He said, I gave the church authority to deal with the devil. Well, and we'll look from a scriptural standpoint, and we'll find out that it's true from a scripture standpoint. See, he said, I couldn't do anything about that. See, wouldn't it be dumb? We said like last week, you get a job with somebody, and you come in, and then you go to your boss and say, you know, I need such and such done on my job. And he said, well, I gave you the authority to do that. No, but I want you to do it. I'd rather have you do it. I'm sure your boss is going to say, yeah, sure, I'll do your job for you. Right, I'll be right over there and do it for you. Well, that's exactly what the church does to God. The church plays this thing they call church, but it's playing around with stuff. And they don't turn around in not reading the scriptures. And then when people find revelations, they leave them after a while. My God, you don't want to. Anyhow, what I want to do with this is because go over what Jesus Christ told Kenneth Hagin. And he took Kenneth Hagin to Matthew 28. He took him to Matthew 28 to tell him something. He said, you need to understand some things. He said, I couldn't have done anything about that. He said, I delegated the authority to deal with Satan to the church. I gave it to them. See, we go the well. All you know, if we go over to that, Jesus made this statement in Matthew in 28, verse 18, and he said, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "Now listen, what Jesus said to them: All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Now I want you, because you need to understand that. He said, there's two places that I have, this authority has been given to me. This place of authority is heaven and earth. Where's Jesus? Heaven. See, you and I don't need the authority that's needed in heaven. Jesus is operating under the authority in heaven. What you and I need is the authority to operate in the earth. You see, Jesus is operating under the authority of the high priest ministry in heaven. He said, I've been given the authority in heaven and in earth. Now I want you to think about this. All authority. And you need to understand this. The Father God, our Heavenly Father, gave Jesus all the authority that's in heaven and earth. Heaven and earth is not being run by Father God. It's being run by Jesus. All the authority is in Jesus, isn't it? Jesus said, did he do it or didn't he? Jesus said the Father wouldn't even answer prayer except under his authority of his name. So you can pray to God all you want. The Father don't answer prayer unless it's under the authority of the name of Jesus. It's not answerable. You can pray to God night and day and say, oh God, help, and oh God this, and oh God whatever you want to. You're wasting your breath. Jesus told us where the authority comes from to get prayers answered. And it's under the authority of his name. The Father answers prayer under the... He gave Jesus the authority of heaven and earth. Jesus has it. The Father does not. See, now that's it. Well, now you minimizing the Father. No, I'm not. God did that. The Father did that. I see people get religious and get right over into the credit. That's what they'll do. Religious people will drag you right over to stupidity and you'll want to go for the ride with them. You got to look them in the face and just tell them, say, look, you either believe the Bible or just shut up. Dear God. Because anything that's going to come out of your mouth is going to be dumb. We need to learn, you know, we need to start standing up for truth. We need to get some backbone back in the church again. I'll tell you what, I've come to the point, I get a little short with people because I'm tired of the stupidity telling me they believe the Bible and they have no clue what it even says. They read it and never even see a thing that it says. They read it and just in their stupid, you know. We need to tell people. We need to tell people to wake up. You know, I don't mind telling people I won't pray for them. People come and ask me for something stupid. You pray for such a people? Sit and look at me. I just look them right in the eye and say, no, I ain't praying for you. I can't pray for you with that. That ain't aligned with the Bible. And I ain't going to lie and let you think. I said, I'm going to pray for you. You're not so stupid. I'm going to pray that God give you some wisdom. That's what you need. You don't need to answer the prayer, the thing that you need. You need to wake up, space cadet. I'll tell you, the most thing we need is wisdom. I want wisdom. I want to see what the Word's saying. I want to understand what God's doing. Hallelujah. I don't want to go through some bunch of religious routines and not get your prayer answered. What's the point? People have prayed for years and don't ever get nowhere. Don't they ever get tired of that? You know, it's like me. If it ain't working, I ain't wasting my time doing it. Man, I got better things to do with my time. Hallelujah. If I can't get it from God, I want it. I'm going to have to figure out a way to get it. There are. Hallelujah. But anyhow, all this authority. Then he said this. Jesus, now this is Jesus speaking to Kenneth E. Hagin. He said, the scripture says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now he told them, and this is what Jesus Christ said to Kenneth Hagin. He said, when I told the disciples to go, I just delegated the authority of earth into their hands. You go do it. You go. You see, Jesus said this. He told the disciples. He said, he who believes in me. He didn't say, hey, you disciples. See, I said, well, the disciples could do miracles. Jesus said this. The guy who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do because I go to the Father. Because Jesus went to the Father, people in the earth can do the same works Jesus did, and they can do greater works than Jesus did. Jesus said so. How can they? You couldn't do it if you didn't have the authority to do it. Understand, heaven does not delegate power without delegating authority. If you don't have the authority, heaven ain't going to back up no power for you. Dear Lords, You know, it's like going out here and a guy isn't really a cop just because he dresses up like one. You know, he gets out. Are they going to back him if he tries to arrest somebody and somebody shoots at him? Are the police going to run out there and say, well, that was an officer? They say, man, you ain't got the authority to be out there. We'll shoot at you too. This is where the trouble has been in the church. The power problem is an authority problem. It's not power problem. It's authority. The church has already been given all the power. The Holy Ghost is in us. Is the Holy Ghost the power of God? Last I heard, he was. Jesus told them that they told the disciples to wait down in Jerusalem till you receive power from on high. We ain't got a power problem. We have an authority problem. We don't know who we are. The church has no clue what they can do. They're waiting around for God to do instead of what Jesus said they're supposed to do. Jesus, speaking of doing his works, he said, whatever you command in my name, I'll do it, that the Father will be glorified. Whatever! My words, we sure threw those words out of the Bible. Well, I wonder what he wants us to do. He said, whatever! Hallelujah! Concerning his works, whatever! Hallelujah! So Jesus said, look, when I sent the disciples, I delegated them the authority. What good would it have done to Jesus to send them and the authorities in heaven with him? Nothing would have happened. Nothing would have taken place. They had to have the authority to go. That's why we find out the demonstration concerning the gospel, the demonstrations, manifestations of the Spirit and the things that God did through them. I want you to go over to Mark 16 because I want you to see something in Mark 16 chapter. This deals with this delegated authority because Jesus, we find out that Mike in 28, he said that, but we find out in 16, we found out the specific delegation of authority that he's given them to do. That they do, not he does. See, you know, I realize God does miracles and things through us, but you know what? He don't do them without us. And there is some part of it, really from the standpoint, that we do it. We're the initiators of it. You know, God ain't the initiator. Now, he was the initiator of salvation and all that good stuff and all authority in heaven. But when it was put into our hands, you and I are the initiators now. See, Smith Wigglesworth understood that. Smith Wigglesworth said, if the Holy Spirit doesn't move, I move the Spirit. Well, how could he do that? Who does he think he is? Well, he's a guy who did a bunch of miracles. How did he do those miracles? Because he knew how to get the Holy Ghost to move. By what? He operated in his area of authority, and the Holy Ghost responded to him accordingly. And we need to understand with ourselves that things won't work. Now, in Mark the 16th chapter, Jesus, here again, verse 15 says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now listen to this. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now I want you to understand this. He said, whoever believes and is baptized, that is not water baptism he's talking about there. Majority of the times in the New Testament, the word baptism has nothing to do with water. We have made it all about water. Nobody gets saved through baptism of water. Ain't nobody ever got saved because of it. And you know what? I've had people say, well, you know, you got to get baptized, you're going to go to heaven. Well, you know, if I go out here and there's a guy dying and I lead him to Christ, he goes to hell if I can't get him in the water and baptize him? Well, see, baptism don't save nobody. Baptism saves no one. He's talking about being baptized into Christ. He made a statement. He said, he who believes and is baptized, he who believes and is baptized into Christ. You can believe on Jesus and not receive him and you never get baptized into Christ. I've met people already that told me they know Jesus is Lord. I work with a guy at H.B. Reese Candy Company. He told me he knew Jesus was Lord. He knew he needed to accept Jesus. But he wasn't going to do that because he liked his life and the way he was living. Well, was he saved because he believed Jesus? No, he wasn't. He is never baptized into Christ. And you get that by confessing Jesus is Lord and believing God's raised him from the dead. He never did that. He wouldn't do that. He didn't want to be saved. That's why he's telling them here, you go out, it ain't a matter of just getting people to believe something. They need to get baptized into Christ. They need to get born again. Just believing on Jesus don't get you born again. Paul said about it, you got to confess Jesus is Lord. He said confession is made unto salvation. He did not say believing is made unto salvation. He said confession. And so what he's talking about, these are people who actually, he said, the ones who believe it will be baptized, those group, that group of people, those ones, are what? Will be saved. That group. They're the saved group. The ones who don't do that, they're not the saved group. So, now listen what he goes on to say. The other ones, he said, they'll be condemned. Now listen what he said. Verse 17. These signs will follow those who believe in my name. Okay? Now, listen what he says. Those who believe. Here he uses in my name. Where's the authority lie? He told the disciples, when you pray and ask the Father anything in my name. So what does he say there? Here concerning this, he said, these signs will follow you in my name. In other words, they were given authority to use his name. And he said, look at the first one. The first one cast out demons. Isn't that interesting? The church today would surely put something else higher at the top of that. I'm going to tell you the number one thing the church needs to understand is what we're dealing with in this earth today. The church is dealing with everything. People and Christians are dealing with everything but what the real problem is. In Ephesians, it says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And that's all we got going on today. Dealing with flesh and blood, while the devil gets to run and do all he wants to do. And we're trying to change people's lives while they're all yielded to the devil. And we don't deal with the devil. The first thing he said, you can cast out devils. That's the first thing on the, in my name, you can cast out devils. He'd say, in my name, you ask me and I'll come and cast the devil out. He said, no, you cast out devils. That's your job to deal with the devil. That's your job. That's my job. We deal with the devil. Hallelujah. If you haven't noticed in the earth, there's a few of them hanging out. My God. Hallelujah. I can truthfully say that never before in my lifetime have we ever seen demonic things going off. And I tell you, when we look at it from a history standpoint, I mean, it is, I tell you, the demonic stuff that's going on out here. And that's why the church has to stand up, take its place. Also, he said the next one, they will speak with new tongues. That word tongues there, that word tongues, which means those things, those speech that you didn't learn. He said they'll do that. In his name, they'll do that. See, in the name of Jesus, you can be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, you don't have to try to get Jesus to fill you with the Holy Ghost. That was his plan. He said, my name you can have. In other words, you have the authority in the name of Jesus to speak in other tongues. You have the authority to do that. He said, they will do it, what? In my name. Didn't he? Cast out devils in my name, speak in new tongues. That's when Kenneth Hagin got filled with the Spirit. I'll never forget hearing that. I wasn't filled with the Spirit. He gave the story about how he was filled with the Spirit. I was listening to it on a tape. And he said, after I got filled with the Spirit, he said, I realized I could have talked in tongues any old time I wanted to. I could have done that. He said, I never realized, I didn't know it. He said, I could have done that at any time. Well, he's right. Right in the Bible says, it's in my name, you'll speak in new tongues. You can get filled. And that's what I decided. Well, I'm going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And right there in my bedroom, I just got filled with the Holy Ghost right there and spoke in other tongues. When I saw that, what he said, I could have done that at any time. I thought, well, I'm going to be one of those guys that do it at any time. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I'm allowed to. Glory to God. That's what Jesus told him. See, we got to get out of some of these doctrines in the church of how you do things. But see, most of the time you have to minister to people in certain ways because they're so indoctrinated in one path. That's all they could ever have, in one path. Now, you go to meetings. I know with Christopher Alam, he'll go to meetings and he'll have you know, 70, 100,000 people out there, and he doesn't lay hands on anybody to get filled with the Holy Ghost. He'll out there and just praise over them, and the Holy Ghost falls, and tens of thousands of people get filled with the Holy Ghost just like that. Well, see, they ain't been indoctrinated religiously. They ain't been indoctrinated in the church yet into how it has to be done. He knows how to give God a little latitude there to do some stuff that he wants to do. And so, you know, get filled with the Holy Ghost is the easiest thing to do. It must have been easy. I did it, and I had no, I sure didn't have a bunch of spiritual sense. I think I did have a little more than some. But the idea, I heard him say, but I could have done it any time. And I thought, oh, well, I don't look at anything special. I just get filled with the Holy Ghost right here, right now. Glory to God. Thank God he said that. And I heard it on that tape. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen to this. He says, they'll take up serpents and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. He's talking here too, and they're dealing with areas of serpents. What he's dealing is dealing with areas of demonic powers. If you go over and study in the use of the terminologies, even with Jesus and dealing with the disciples and go over and read in writings, you'll find out it's dealing, what we're dealing with is with things. Now, people say about, well, the Apostle Paul, he dealt with a serpent bit him, and he said he didn't die. Well, there you're going to have to use the name of Jesus. You're going to have use your authority. If you don't know you have your authority, like Paul did, Paul, the snake bit him and came out, and a viper bit him, and he shook his hand off his hand, and they were marveled because he didn't swell up and die. See, I was in Vietnam. We had to call the bamboo viper. They're a little green snake about this long. They called them the two-step. Because you get bit, you almost die instantly. You know, you don't get time to get the antidote. That don't happen. It's just, you just croak. And I stepped on one day with shower shoes on. Man, I'm going to tell you, God had to be with me. I was a heathen, but God must have been with me. Because I'll tell you what, I did a dance. Let me tell you. Out of there. I come walking out of a bunker. It's about 3 foot thick walls on these bunkers. I come walking out of them and I just had shower shoes on and stuff. And there was an equipment bunker and I come walking out and a viper had been laying in the sun. It was a little cool outside, so he had laid in the sun. No air was on him there and he was just soaking up sun. And I come walking outside there and I stepped on him and did a little dance. Let me tell you, whoa, when I looked down, I saw him, my foot coming down. I couldn't stop. I was already in a move. He didn't hear me or see me, thank God. And hallelujah, Jesus was Lord then too, I think. He spared me. Glory to God. I got out of there. So anyhow, he went down along the bunker, and I was going to be real smart. We went and got out some diesel fuel. We're going to dump it down there. We're going to kill him. We poured it down along the bunker, and a few of them come out to visit us. And we decided to leave that alone. Well, they didn't go back because they didn't like the diesel down in their fuel, so they left, and so did we. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But he said, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. See, this is one thing he's dealing with Christians. It's one of the things we pray over our food is to sanctifying our food. People need to understand this. Praying over your food isn't just about, oh, thank you, Lord, for food. It's about sanctifying it. It's about sanctifying. It's an act of faith. Sanctification means it's set apart for you. You need to learn to walk in faith. Remember how many people are sick all the time and doing it because of food? They estimate here in America 40-some percent of people that think they have the flu and coming down with something like that, it's from food poisoning. They'll have a day or so they're feeling sick. It's because of food. Well, I'll tell you what. You know, I go and traveling. I've done over the years in mission trips and that stuff. Man, I tell you, I go by faith. And I'll tell you what, you better. Better learn to use your faith out there because I tell you, people get sick all the time. I know a minister. I know him. I've talked to him many times, man. He's been on the field and has gotten some of the worst sicknesses and diseases out there on the field. I'm going to tell you what, you go by faith. Because I tell you what, when you see what goes on out there, you know, I was over in India and they were out there. I was sitting in this house out back and over the house from us. They were getting things ready they were going to make meals for these people. Thousands of people were coming into these meetings and they make these big dinners for them and the people because they come in from all over and stay. These people stay for the day for the meetings and so they prepare food for us. And we're sitting in this area and I'm looking over from us and there's another house over here on this side and it's a big cement like patio thing there and I'm looking over there and I see on the patio these women are over there chopping something but to me it looks like it's alive and it's black and it's all moving around and this thing and I'm thinking what on earth is that thing going on over there, what is they doing? And so I got up and walked over there and looked and it was flies on chicken. And I'm going to tell you what, it wasn't like 100 flies over there. I mean, they had invited all their cousins and, you know, everybody, all their ancestors and everything. They probably called them back from the grave to come and crawl on that meat. And they're over there chopping it up. And they're over there cutting this thing. They're doing it. I walked over there, looked at it, and said, praise God, we're praying tonight. Hallelujah. We're believing God. Hallelujah. What? You know, you sit and think it's terrible. Do you know what goes on in the kitchens where you go eat at? Loads of places you'd never eat. The people go eat. But you use your faith. You need to learn to do that. You need to learn to use your faith. Hallelujah. Why? Because the devil's out here trying to kill people. I learned a long time ago, you don't like it. Hallelujah. But one thing he said, they will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover in the name of Jesus. They'll lay hands on the sick. This is one of the, these are the signs. It goes on, he said, so then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God and said, good luck, guys. Well, I'm sorry, that says it in many Bibles. It says good luck. That's the way it's read anyhow. Good luck. Sometimes I say yes, sometimes I say no, but most of the time it's always, no, we won't do it. We ain't answering your prayer, you scumbag. Don't you know what you are, you ugly old thing, just a sinner saved by grace? Don't you know? Hallelujah. I want to think about it. Jesus took these things, made these statements to these people there, made statements to them straight out about this. What these guys were going to do. And he never sat down and said, now look, if you guys live right, do right, I'll do this stuff. If you don't, he didn't say that. He said, this is what follows people who believe. This is the stuff that goes along with this. These signs follow. In other words, you guys just go out there. You know, he didn't put any of these things out. See, people, don't go over to the areas of walking in faith. That's one thing is, Samson understood by faith of his power. That pleased God. Everybody think, well, he had to have a great life, and that would please. Well, sure, God wanted him to have a good life. Things didn't turn out as well as they could have, but the whole thing of it is, God was tickled with his faith. There's too many people come into Christianity and have no faith their entire walk. They never pleased God at all, ever, by faith. All it is, they got saved, and that's as far as it goes, and they're trying to please God by, you know, I don't cuss, swear, or drink. Well, you might as well go have a drink, because you ain't going to get nothing else. That isn't what pleases God. God wants us to live right, but we got to. Things happen when people operate by faith. Jesus said that these things follow in his name. In other words, faith in his name. If a person don't have faith in his name that these are going to work, it ain't going to happen. The devil ain't going to leave. It's just like, I've talked before. I mean, a large church asked me to come and deal with a person with a demonic problem. First of all, they didn't even know if the person had a demonic problem, and the person really didn't have. They weren't demon-possessed. The person was yielding to certain things over in the flesh. And you got to know that. And they didn't know. And their so-called spirit-filled church, I mean, the pastor graduated from the same school I did, and he's a big leader and all this kind of stuff, and these guys don't know what to do with this stuff. Oh, but Ed, they're better than you because they got a big church. Yeah, that's all they got. It's a big group. They got a good, nice crowd hanging out. But they don't know what to do about spiritual things. They don't know if it's the devil or not. Dear Lord, see, you can't walk by faith if you don't know it's the devil. Or you don't know it's not the devil, there's no place for you to walk in to deal with it at all. You can't deal with it. You don't know what it is. Faith's where the will of God's known. If you don't know, if it's really the devil, you can sit and say, devil, leave all you want. And if you don't know it's the devil, you ain't got no faith to do it. We cast out devils, Jesus said, by the finger of faith. You cast a devil out when you know it's the devil. If you don't know it's the devil, sometimes you got to pray to find out if it's demonic. Now, over the years, there are certain things with myself. I mean, I've been more keen in that way because of things the Lord has dealt with me over the years and dealing with stuff. So, there's things I sense about demonic powers and operation, and I know things. But I believe anybody could do it if you start to get over into those things and start to operate over there. But most people try to operate out of their minds of what they see going on in their mind. You know, even sickness and disease, you can get what looks like the same symptoms. One of them is demonic, and the other one is that actual person has something wrong in their body, which needs healing. But the other person needs a demon cast out of them. You know, you get sometimes they've had with people, I know Kenneth Hagin talked about it, I've seen it in other people's ministries, dealing with an individual who has seizures. And one individual, they were, through the healing anointing, was healed, and another individual needed to have a demon cast out of him. When the demon was cast out, the seizure stopped. See, we need to understand that. How do you do it? See, if a person has a demon, you can go lay hands on them all you want with the healing anointing, and it ain't going to do nothing. It'll change nothing. The healing anointing isn't how you deal with demons. You got to cast them out. So those are things you have to do. See, this is why you got to find out. You know, we sort of just got this shotgun Christianity. You just shoot a blast of a whole bunch of different stuff and just, well, maybe one of them will hit. You never know. One of them, maybe we'll get a BB, will land on something. I don't know. But, you know, it's finding out. This is why, you know, I'm not always so quick to just up and deal with somebody on something, on some things, because of understanding that you have to be able to find out sometimes what is really happening over in his areas. So we find out. Now, in verse 20 there in Mark 16 says this, "And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs." God confirmed the word. In other words, the word was confirmed by the accompanying signs. So they went out and God confirmed it. They acted on the word of God. They preached the gospel. And number one, they had to preach a gospel of dealing with demons. How would people have faith about dealing with demons? They had to preach. You know, there's no such thing as the gospel is just get born again. How would people get healed if they have faith to be healed if nobody preached healing? Healing's part of the gospel. Delivered from demons is part of the gospel. Jesus said, you go preach the gospel and do this stuff in front of people. That's what he said you do. Well, we have today. Oh, that's not. No, the gospel is just tell somebody Jesus loves them. Well, that's the gospel. Well, I'm sorry. The disciples didn't do that. That was man's gospel. Loads of evangelists never preach the gospel. They preach part of it. They just preach part of the gospel. See, we need to take a full gospel to people. I'm going to tell you, there's people. I'll tell you what, I needed delivered from demons when I got saved. Man, I would have invited them into my house, man. We had demons. I'm going to tell you what. I was over-involved in sorcery. My God, I knew how to live with them. Dear Lord. Loads of people live with them and don't even know it. They live with demons. I know just an incident with Wanda one time. We weren't saved real long, and the Lord had me deal with demons, demonic powers. And I'll never forget, for a few days, you know, and I'm over here, you know, I'm you know, playing Mr. Spiritual, you know, trying to walk in the things of God and, you know, doing that. And I would come home from work, and Wanda was just upset all the time. And it wasn't in her nature to be like that. You know, most times, like, Wanda's upset at me, she won't talk to me. And I knew something was wrong because she was talking to me. And she wasn't happy. So I knew, this ain't the way Wanda operates. This ain't it. But real spiritual me, I just wasn't paying attention. And I'd come home from work, just happy walking, and I could just say, "Hi, honey, how was your day?" That was the last thing I wanted to hear. Boy, she was just, something was. So this went on for a few days. I don't know about you. I'm not always quick to pick things up. Maybe you get it real quick. But I'll never forget this. I came home and she's mad. And I'm thinking, man, what is, you know, if I did something, shoot me, whatever. But this thing here, this ain't going nowhere. So she's in the kitchen and I just sort of backed out of the kitchen and I just went around and went up. We had an open stairway and I'm walking up the steps and I just say quietly to the Lord, I said, "Lord, what is going on here? What is happening?" Finally, ask God. You know, the last resort, after you've done everything, you know. I thought if I treated her real sweet, this would go away. Well, it didn't. It didn't go away. Sweet didn't work. So I'm walking up the steps. And the Spirit of the Lord says to me, and he didn't talk to me sweet either. I don't get these people, God always just talks so nice to them. I believe they're lying, or either the devil's talking to him, because he didn't talk sweet to me all the time. He said to me, "Why don't you do something about it?" And I was like, "Whoa, hold it here." He said, and this is what the Lord said to me. He said, "There's a demon been bugging your wife, and you haven't done nothing about it." And I thought, well, that's for sure. I didn't even dawn on me it was. Never dawned on me that it was at all. See, I'm out here, Mister, you know, this is just my wife having a bad time, you know, and that stuff, you know. And this is just, you know, must be the time of the month, you know, one of those things. And he said, "You need to deal with that demon." Well, I knew because he had told me before about how to cast the devil out of my house. And just right there on the steps, just quietly, I didn't have to yell or do something. I said, "Devil, it's bugging my wife. I command you to stop it right now and get out of this house." And that's all I said. I didn't have to go through no big rigmarole. We didn't have to have 14 prayer meetings and get all these people together and then we're going to pray and all of us are going to pray. You don't need to do none of that. Once you know what it is, deal with it like the Bible says. When Jesus was dealing with a demon, he didn't hold a prayer meeting. He just cast the thing out. When you know what you're dealing with, sometimes you might need to pray to get yourself over to find out what the problem is. But once you find out what the problem is, you deal with it. You can, you know. A lot of times people don't. They don't deal. They don't know what the problem is. So anyhow, I did that. I went upstairs, got changed clothes, come downstairs, walked in the kitchen, and there's a different woman in the kitchen. Now, that doesn't mean every time that happens. Sometimes there's some people, they just mean. Some people just ugly and moody. Some people are moody because they yield to spirits and that stuff. You can't always keep it off of them. They have to learn how to do it themselves, too. Or if they don't, you can't do it all the time for them. You know, God would have never let me with Wanda all the time, that going on, and I have to take care of it all the time. It would have never worked that way. She just got started off in Christianity, and the Lord had taught me a little bit about casting demons out, so I had to do it. And so dealing with those things, and see, there's a lot of stuff that goes on like that, and we need to be more sensitive. Last time we never even asked God. We just go on our merry way and think about it. Well, we'll just get down here, we'll get somebody to pray. We'll just get the prayer chain, and we'll call them, and we go through all this rigmarole out of here, but people never find out. It's like the Lord rebuked me one time, again. He's done this on a number of occasions. I don't know, I must be just, maybe I'm a problem, I don't know. He rebukes me. But he told me, he said, you're like a doctor that only treats symptoms. Well, anything I hate is a doctor that only treats symptoms. I can't stand because you go to many doctors are like that. All they do is treat symptoms. They never do find out what's wrong with people. They just see you have an ache here. Here, take this for that. Or you got this, or you take that. Well, what caused the problem? Who cares? Take the medicine, you know. And that's what most people like. Well, the Lord said, you're a doctor, like a doctor. That only treats symptoms. And he said, you don't find out what the problem is. And I wanted to get mad, but I had to get his raise right. Because I was dealing with the thing, and I wasn't finding out the problem. I'd been messing with this for a long time. I'd been dealing with the symptoms. But the symptom wasn't the problem. And he said this to me. The Lord said this to me, to this, uses the term of a headache. He said, if a person had a tension headache, and you gave them a pain reliever, he said it would relieve the pain from that tension headache, and he would relieve the pain from it. And he said, probably help them, and the headache will go away. But he said, if they have a brain tumor and it's causing a headache, he said, you can give them, and this is the Lord said to me, you give them the medication, and he said, when it wears off, the pain's still there. And I knew exactly what he was talking about. I said, Lord, the pain's still there. I've been dealing with this thing over on, you know, not knowing what I didn't know. All I'm dealing with symptoms. I'm trying to take care of symptoms, and the symptoms weren't the problem. And then he was kind to Ed and showed me what the problem was, and I got it fixed right away. Which I could have, if I'd have paid attention, got it fixed a long time before that. But see, people don't. People get in their routine of how they do things. We pray many times and never ask God's opinion about nothing. We don't ask him. Well, I'm smart. I know. This is what I need. And we don't stop and say, hey, Lord, what is going on here? What's happening? Am I on the right track? See, Brother Hagin used to pray. That's what I learned from Brother Hagin. He used to pray like that. Brother Hagin said, now, Lord, this is where we're standing at in this thing, but if you want us to do something else, you let me know. I'll do whatever direction you want me to go in. In other words, God, I'm interested in your opinion in this. I'm interested in how you see it. See, we need to do that. We talk about having this God, and he's so brilliant, and he's so smart, and yet we many times, and I'm not knocking you. I've done enough of it myself. Trying to handle it myself, handle it in my own ways. You've been there, I've been there, praise God. And we're dealing with these things. We're dealing with areas of authority. And we have to learn how to use our authority, but also you want to use it correctly. I don't know about you. I personally don't know everything that's written in the Bible. Or at least, I might have read it over. I've read through the Bible numbers of times. But I don't have revelation on it all. Do you? There's things that I can quote that I know I don't have a revelation on. I could quote you and tell what it said, but I'd still like to know what God really has his opinion on. I'd really like to know. But anyhow, we have all this stuff, and we need to understand this. We get over, and sometimes, you know, we've had things and we've worked things out certain ways. We just go right back at it the same way, and actually we're dealing with a different problem, but we're trying to fix it in the way we fixed our other stuff without knowledge of what we're doing. I found out many times I've dealt with things over long periods of time. One time dealing with one individual, I dealt with it for over a year. Never got straightened out because I'm just over here, Mr. I'm going to obey what the Bible says on it. I'm going to take this individual. I'm going to walk in love and pray for him, and God will reveal something to him. And I'm playing this thing out. Oh, I'm being Mr. Spiritual. I'm being the great guy. You know, I'm walking in love with this guy. He ain't nothing but trouble, but I'm going to walk in love with him and pray for him, and I'm just doing real good. And one day, finally, and I guess my inner man got some sense over my outer man. And my inner man was fed up with what I was doing. And I was laying across my bed. It was a Saturday. I was meditating on some things about Sunday's preaching, but there was this underlying thing about this guy that was just irritating me. And I think it was the man on the inside was saying, you know, this thing's got to be dealt with. And finally, out of my great brilliance, I finally said, and which I had never done before, I said, Lord, what about so-and-so? I had never asked God one time about the guy. I'm over here walking in what I believe. You know, this is what never changes. And I said, Lord, what about this individual? And just as clear, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me on the inside and said, he's hard-hearted and stiff-necked. And I thought, and I knew immediately, I just wasted a year of trying to turn a situation around that ain't getting turned around. I need to deal with that individual. And I dealt with it, and God had straightened out. He took hat, and I didn't have to put up with him anymore. I could have done that a year earlier if I had asked God. You need to understand this about God. God, our God, Kenneth Hagin used to use this to say the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He won't push his way around you. If you don't ask, lots of times he won't say a thing. He's a gentleman. If you ask, the Bible says ask and you shall receive. It didn't say you're just going to receive because you need an answer. He said you ask. See, I learned a long time ago. You don't ask, you don't get answers. I didn't learn the first time. I've done things like that afterwards either. Well, I'll turn around, get over and stand it, and didn't ask God. Never got him involved in it. See, stealing the earth, see, authority-wise, who has authority in the earth? Who? We do. That's right. Does Jesus have the authority in the earth? Nope, he don't. He gave it to us. He ain't coming voicing down here without us giving permission to him. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. If you don't ask, he doesn't have the authority to just push himself here on you and do what he wants. Now that's a whole new doctrine to the church. It's because they don't read the Bible. They don't know what it's about. He's waiting on us. He's waiting on us to ask. Ask and you shall receive. And I didn't receive because I didn't ask. When Kenneth Hagin's wife was healed of a goiter. She had a goiter. And they told her she had operation. You know, she had like a 10% chance of living through it. And he had been praying concerning his wife. And his wife just, she couldn't get a hold of the fact of believing just for divine healing. And yet she knew somehow that she had the operation. She was going to die. And he had gotten over praying about it. And Brother Hagin was preaching in a meeting in a place. Jesus showed up and appeared to him. Told him, I came to you about your wife. And he said, tell her to have the operation and she'll come through it fine. And Jesus said this to him. He said, I want to do these kinds of things to my people all the time if they would only just ask me. They'd only just ask. See, many times we don't. We ask sometimes in our way. We end up, you know, we don't ask God's opinion. We don't ask, you know, what things come. We get our ideas of how we want to do it and heading in our direction. We need to get over where we're asking God's opinion. I tell you, the Holy Ghost is the wisdom of God living in us. The Holy Ghost sees, and sees one. If you're Smith Wigglesworth learned, when he would pray from a heavenly standpoint, he's listening to heaven too. He ain't sitting up there with his own ideas and his own things of looking down. He's listening. He's sitting in a place where he can hear. Not just where he can say something, but where he can hear something too. And that's what you want to. We want God moving in our prayer lives. I want God involved in my prayer life, not just from the receiving side. I want his wisdom on what to pray. You know, like this morning is nice. You get praying and the anointing comes. Man, that anointing comes, makes it easy to pray. I'll tell you what, you can pray with the anointing. I've prayed many times without the anointing. But number one, I've seen it just as effective as you do with the anointing. I prayed already, see God do it. But I'll tell you, it's nice when the anointing comes. But you want to hook up with what God's doing. You know, when I stepped up, I just came, you pray for the nation. Well, I'm going to obey that. This is what we're going to do. So you see, I've got to bathe. You listen on the inside. Well, we can pray later. We can do it some other time. We can do this, or I pray at home already, and blah, blah, blah. We can go that. Get in our own mind. Listen to what God's saying. Listen to what he's telling you to do. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God.